Welcome to the Magic and Mindfulness Podcast. You're joining me, Amy Maxwell, on my journey of understanding the world of light magic in order to cultivate mindful living. I'm so excited for you to join me on this path of discovery. For today's podcast, I'm joined by Britta Vector, who is a cacao alchemist, energy healer, and ceremony facilitator. Britta will be discussing what cacao is, its connections with the heart space and spirituality, and its beneficial properties for how to work with the magical fruit. So before we dive into the conversation with Britta, I just wanted to mention that cacao is a medicine, and there are certain contraindications if you're pregnant or taking certain medications. So it's always good to speak to a practitioner if you're new to working with cacao for the first time. You can also check the show notes for more information. At the time of recording with Britta, I had actually never had an encounter with cacao, but have always been really curious to know more about what it does before wanting to try it and be open enough to take it. But then 2 days after recording, me and my husband decided to purchase one of Britta's cacao packages, created our own little space in our home for using cacao, and we had a whole ceremony around trying it for ourselves. We had instructions from the package that we received, which told us to first cleanse the space with sage. We were taken through an audio-guided meditation from Britta. We had a ceremonial experience taking the cacao together, and then we were led through a visualization exercise and finally ended up sharing and opening up with one another. So for me and my husband, it was a really amazing and beautiful way to connect with each other. And we even discovered that we shared the same visualization during the meditation. During our experience, we cried a lot and we opened up to each other. And through connecting with the heart space, it was a truly transformative point for us together as a couple. And I'm really grateful for finding Britta in order to open up a gateway for discovering cacao and also a new opening to our relationship that I don't think we would have found or reached without the offering of this experience. So for that, I'm really, truly grateful. And I hope that through listening to our conversation, it might unlock some curiosity for you around cacao. So with all this in mind, Britta has also kindly offered a 5% discount code for anyone listening wanting to try her cacao packages for yourself. You can head to Britta's website, which I'll link in the show notes, and you use the discount code CACAOLOVE. And the lovely thing about cacao is that you can use it to connect to yourself and others. So whether it's with friends, your partner, at home, or in a physical space, there are various ways to try and experience it for however it resonates with you. Okay, now let's get on with the show. So hi, Britta. Thank you so much for joining me on today's podcast.
Hi, Amy. I'm so excited to be here and to share about the magic of cacao with you and the listeners. I'm just super grateful you invited me. I feel very honored to be here.
That's so lovely, because I'm happy to talk to someone about cacao, because it's been something that's intrigued me for so long now. You know, in my sort of time here in the Netherlands, I've seen a lot of cacao ceremonies popping up, and I've never tried it. So I am just super interested in this topic, because a lot of the conversations I have with other guests, I've sort of dipped my toes in, but with cacao, I'm completely new. But before we get started and really get nitty gritty, can you tell me in your own words a bit about yourself and how you became connected with cacao?
I call myself a cacao alchemist. And it's funny because literally the name of alchemist came to me in a dream, because I've been working with cacao now around two and a half years. That's when the first time that I met cacao, basically. And then suddenly, like, I didn't never knew what how I could name what I'm doing. And alchemy was such a beautiful word that came to me. And alchemy literally means for me to work with a transformative process from something that is matter, so like, not manifested, into the idea of light. And this is literally what cacao does, because cacao works with the alchemy of the heart. And it really helps you to access the transformative power and the transformative power within your own being, within your own heart. So that's how I came to like give myself the name a cacao alchemist. So really my intention with everything that I'm doing and the space I'm opening is to really create a space where hearts can literally open, because I really believe that in the time that we are living and in that society and everything that's been happening, it's more important than ever that we as a humanity move into the heart space. So literally coming out of our busy minds and come into contact again with what is actually alive within ourselves, and to also walk our path from that place. And for me, literally, cacao came my path when I left my, let's say, old life behind me and I was on a world trip. I left everything behind. I worked many years in the corporate industry and I really felt I was very unhappy at a certain stage in my life. And I literally, from one day to the other, I overheard a lot of wake-up calls. I just quit my job and I traveled. And on this world trip, I met cacao. I met Mother Cacao, because it's not want to go into too many details yet, but it's seen as a plant medicine with a feminine spirit called Mother Cacao. And before that, I only knew the chocomel that the Dutchies like to drink, or hot chocolate. And I always obviously enjoyed chocolate, as most of us do, right? We oh, love yeah. to eat chocolate and it makes us happy. And there are many reasons for that. But cacao literally really supported me and guided me on my path towards myself. And that's what I really believe what she can bring to us. She can bring to us the reconnection with our own nature. So really this nature helping us to reconnect with our nature and really guiding us back to our own heart and to our own longings and really creating our life from there.
I'm so excited to try it, because I've just ordered one of your packages for Valentine's Day, which is all about obviously opening up your heart. And I managed to convince my husband, who's not very spiritual, to try that with me. So I'm really looking forward to just having that connection. With the cacao itself, how and when did you first try it? Was there like a certain time that you were like, oh my God, I've tried this once, I'm hooked? Or was it sort of a slow connection?
I would say it was a slow connection. So back that time, I was living in Brazil in a hostel, which was also a sort of empowerment center. And there was one girl really connected to nature, working in permaculture. And she, for the first time, actually showed us a real cacao fruit. So I really saw the cacao fruit, because it's not cacao beans, actually, it's cacao seeds. So it's really the seeds of a fruit, which I found already amazing. And it looks so nice. And it's so delicious as well to eat the pulp of the fruit. So the cacao of the fruit juice, basically. And then we made our own, or basically she really made her own cacao drink. And then we started to make some ceremonies just out of our own feeling. And I didn't even know much about cacao then, but it just hooked me a lot because of the intentionality that goes in it. Like that you do it with so much intention and gratitude, and you know more about the process, and bringing in this mindfulness and this gratitude really already got me hooked. So that were my first contact points. And first of all, trying this pure cacao, because obviously the chocolate we eat is just so much more processed and sugars added and good cacao butter is taken out. So it's not even the real, you know, bittery taste that the cacao seeds actually have. Then I kept on traveling and I ended up in Mexico. And suddenly in Mexico, cacao was everywhere. And I didn't even knew this before. Like Mexico and Guatemala are really, you know, two of the countries where cacao originally was cultivated already by the Mayas and the Olmecs and the Aztecs. And they are even cacao bars. So instead of coffee bars, they have cacao bars. So it's also partially commercialized, but there's also a lot of pure cacao that I have then enjoyed in ceremonies. And I spent some time at a meditation center, and there I literally got so hooked of cacao. Like I had a lot of cacao there, and it was beautiful because it was always linked to certain enlightening experiences. So like without over exaggerating the word, but really moments where I had really this inner epiphany, this inner feeling, okay, wow, now I feel something different, instead of always working rationally still with my mind. And this was for a long way my path, that I tried to understand things. You know, I tried to understand all of those beautiful wise quotations of Rumi or Hafiz, but I didn't feel anything of that. And in combination with meditation or ecstatic movement, cacao really helped me to access, you know, this inner experience. And then only when I came back to the Netherlands, where I ended up also kind of unplanned, I participated at a cacao ceremony training of a shaman who I knew from Brazil here in Amsterdam. And that training, you know, blew my heart like away, because I really felt this is what I want to work with. This is what I, not even planning to give ceremonies with it, but like, you know, I just fell in love. And I remembered as if it was yesterday, because this was really for me then the turning point, is that we did a ceremony, and in that ceremony, I felt a very clear connection with the cacao spirit. This was one of my first moments, and I felt that she was really calling me home. And it was not a feeling of being homesick in terms of going back to my parents, but it was a feeling of going home to where I came from. And it was really a call to go back to love, to go back to our essence, to come back to who we actually are. And I really think back of that quite often, because that made me then start taking cacao more often, really integrating it into my system. And then kind of naturally, the door just opened up to give a ceremony. So it was nothing that I planned with my mind that this is, you know, as a business or whatever, that this is what I want to do, but it just unfolded for me. And that's, I believe, that's the magic of unfolding to the synchronicities of your life. And that's really what cacao opened up for me totally.
It's really like you found your dharma, isn't it? Like you're calling, actually.
Yes.
So I have actually lots of questions, Britta. Everything you just said, because wow, it sounds like you've had the most amazing journey with cacao. Mm. I think one thing, because I am really completely new to this topic, and you've kind of just touched upon it a little bit, you've mentioned that you're kind of using cacao more, obviously, in ceremonies, and you've started to feel that connection to using it more regularly. Is cacao something that should just be, in your opinion, just be used within a ceremonial environment, or is it something that you can integrate into your day-to-day? Because you mentioned also that in some of the countries that you were visiting, that actually cacao was seemed just to be a bit more, yeah, normal, just to pick up and have.
Yeah, so I think, you know, to be honest, I think there are many ways to go with that. For me, the magic of my cacao moment lays really also in the intention and at least a certain amount of time that I can take for it. Just to unfold to the magic. So if it's a moment of gratitude and setting your intention, it doesn't always have to be a 1.5 hour ceremony and to, you know, link it with a meditation or something. But I also very much believe that in our daily life, everything we do too much is too much. It becomes a commodity. So then we start drinking a cacao the same way as we would drink a coffee. So we don't even appreciate anymore where even the coffee beans come from. And this is what makes it so special for me, because I know that when I'm drinking a cup of cacao, if it's a full dose, so like a ceremonial dose, then it's one cacao fruit, around 36 to 40 seeds, that, you know, a fruit takes 6 months to grow. A tree takes 6 years or 5 years to carry fruits. The cacao flower blooms only 2 days, you know, and then those seeds are fermented, dried, roasted, peeled, processed into a paste and shipped over the ocean. Then I think, wow, that's actually amazing what I'm having in my hands. But this is one part, you know, so I drink it almost every day, but if I feel there is no space for it, then I rather often don't drink it than just, you know, like force this moment. But of course, cacao is so nutritious and so healthy, like really so incredibly healthy for us, that if we want to use it as something we take daily, you know, to replace a coffee or to have a little bit of nutritional power in our oatmeal, then this is totally fine, of course.
Yeah.
No, I think it's just a matter of awareness and appreciation in whatever way you're using it, because it is the real power unfolds in the moment we are carrying it with a pure intention. And I believe that's with everything that we do, even if we take other plant medicine. You know, it's so important that we are just aligned on how to use it.
Yeah. No, that's lovely. And I think even, like you said, we do take a lot for granted now, and just to enjoy the moment and just even, as I said, I haven't tried cacao yet, but even with my daily morning coffee ritual, I think I've spoke about this many a time to friends and maybe on another podcast, I can't remember. I like to just take a daily routine with sitting with my coffee and being really grateful. Opening up gratitude to just being here and now with my coffee. If I don't have time for a meditation in the morning, for example, you also mentioned that there is that connection to the heart space. And I'm also curious, and maybe this is a misconception that I've read about or heard about, which is maybe also why I've never tried it yet, because I'm a little bit scared of like hallucinogenics and things like that, just because I'm quite a in my head person anyway. So could you maybe clarify, Britta, does cacao have hallucinogenic properties, and how does it also connect with the heart space a little bit more?
So great that you're asking, because I think a lot of people have that perception of a plant medicine. But actually, what is important to know with cacao is that cacao is not a psychedelic. So it's not creating something out of your body, a 3D dimensional experience. And like as other plant medicine might do, but it's a psychoactive. So it's rather stimulating the mind and the capacity to feel emotions and mood. And it's actually taking you deeper on an inner journey. But what it does, because the composition is so rich, is that it has one ingredient called theobromine. And theobromine is translated as food of the gods. So it literally relates to the ancient meaning and also the high value cacao had in ancient civilizations and cultures during the Mayan and the Aztec times. But what it literally is, theobromine is an active ingredient, which is an energizer, which increases the heart circulation in your body. It increases the blood vessels, so it widens the blood vessels. So you literally have an activated cardiovascular system. So when you drink a cacao, you might experience a more higher or quicker heart rate. So like your whole energy system is activated. Coffee, so what we say, coffee is stimulating the mind, and cacao is really literally stimulating the heart space. So that's already one way how it literally, physically is opening the heart, right? But then what is also happening is that cacao has an ingredient called tryptophan, which is increasing, or which is responsible for serotonin production and melatonin production. So it makes us happy and also in a relaxed state. But serotonin is obviously important for the happy mode, right? So we know that. But it also increases dopamine production, which is good for focus and motivation. On top, cacao holds two ingredients called anandamide, which is the bliss molecule, which gives a feeling of euphoria, and PEA, which is the love chemical. So it literally opens the heart chakra and gives us a feeling of, you know, like that we are literally in love with ourselves and with each other. So all of those ingredients together, plus the stimulation of the heart, literally raises our vibration, our frequency, from potentially a lower vibration of fear or anxiety into a vibration of the heart. So coming to a vibration of love and kindness and openness. So that's how it literally physically and almost, you know, chemically raises us into the heart space. And then also from that really energetically opens our heart. I really believe that the moment we are really aligned with our heart, we're also broadening the electromagnetic field that goes around our heart. So we have a completely different, energetic frequency around us and a completely different DNA. So that's how cacao literally works with the heart.
Wow, that sounds incredible. And actually, like, I really appreciate you taking, the time and, you know, just to talk to you with your expertise, because I think it isn't something that is sort of discussed, or, you know, if I see advertisements or things on my Instagram to tell me about a cacao ceremony, I kind of know what it is, but actually to hear about all those amazing properties is just, I'm so excited to try it now. And actually, like, it, in a way, it makes sense why, now that I've heard all of this, it makes sense why you would want to feel in a really safe space to open your heart space. Mm. And I guess that's why holding circles can be so protective, because, you know, for a lot of people, including myself, like, I'm going to be trying your cacao box, Britta, this weekend with my husband. And actually, you know, we've been married for almost 6 years, but actually to open up now after that long again to a more vulnerable space, it's going to be quite confronting for both of us, I think. So I'm a little bit nervous, but I'll report back to you how it goes. I'm sure it's going to be beautiful, but especially in today's society, there's a lot of fear culture about expressing your emotions and letting them out. So I'm super intrigued to understand and feel what cacao will do. And maybe that leads on to my next question, actually, about, you know, actual cacao ceremonies and bringing women together to share experiences. Can you maybe just tell me a little bit about the kind of experience that you facilitate within your own circles, and how that allows women to feel comfortable to opening up?
Yeah, that's a beautiful question, because first of all, I totally agree that there are so much vulnerability of really allowing yourself also to be seen and to be heard for with everything that you are, right? But I also believe that is exactly what is so much needed right now, because it's time to take down the veils, because in the end, our heart is always open. It's just a perception that it's not open. It's rather the traumas and the ideas and the beliefs that we have created around it to close it. Therefore, for me, really, the intention with every ceremony, with every circle, is to create, first of all, a safe space, a sacred space where we can really be with everything that we are. So for me, it's very important that every participant, if it's online or offline, just feels very much welcome and held with all that will be arising. And because I think even, you know, I even know it from my daily routine and life, is that we often just don't make space to feel something. We just push it away. Oh my God, no time for that. Okay, it's annoying. Okay, just don't cry now. Okay. But then often when we get in such a safe space where there is just a moment to stand still with what is there, emotions can come up. And that is actually beautiful, because the moment we feel emotions, we create space in our heart space to open. So in a circle, it lives very much from the sense of togetherness. So it still doesn't mean you can have your own circle. Then it's really about the togetherness and the connection with yourself. But in a circle with more people, it's really for me the essence of really moving together and connecting, which I think is more important than ever as well, to move beyond the separation that is created right now in society and in the world. And in that space of togetherness, like, you know, like in ancient days, people used to gather around the fire and to dance and to just enjoy. So the same thing I am creating in a ceremony, and I'm very much creating it from my own heart. So I'm not a Mayan, I'm not a shaman, I'm not replicating something that comes from somebody else, but I'm creating a ceremony that comes from my heart, where I'm sharing, you know, what I feel in that moment is needed. And with the cacao, we are setting intention, we are moving through meditation, the sharing of the cacao. There's always space to share for people what is on their heart. There's never a must, but I experience that when people even come together with people they don't know, yet there is a sense of togetherness and trust that is created, because we can understand that we are not alone on our journey, because I think that is often what we experience, right? When we struggle, we feel, oh, I'm the only one that is struggling. But no, when people speak up and we share, oh my God, that's actually difficult for me, we find recognition within each other. And that opens such an open and vulnerable space. It's just always beautiful. It always touches me so much. And I recognize every time that I need it as well. And then in a ceremony, after we drank the cacao, I'm normally guiding a visualization journey. So really into your heart space, through sound, through music, through movements, through some smells. It always depends a little bit on what the group needs. And then I'm normally sharing some exercises that bring us deeper into the heart. You will also then, when you do the ceremony with your husband, do some of them. So on my world trip, I experience a lot of exercises or things that really open my heart space much more. So I feel very, very always excited to share them as well with the people. But therefore, a ceremony really lives by the group. It lives with, you know, also my energy holding the space, but it's all of us creating it. It's more an space where I always invite everyone to just be curious and to drop the expectations and, you know, to really leave the mind, the judgy space, and rather come into a space of like, okay, I'm curious, like a little child. I've never done this before. Let me just experience, and let me just, you know, create this experience.
I think it's, you know, you're right. It's such an important time, especially now, to be opening up and holding. I think we've also seen that within the last year as well, actually, across, you know, just connecting more with others, because of we're all feeling some sort of energy that's binding us together with everything that's going on. You know, it's kind of taken down a lot of the ego, I think, in the last year, mm-hmm. to kind of connect to something a little bit kinder and more nourishing. So nice that you can have a space to just feel comfortable to open up and just express that with other women is, it's so important. And you're right, Britta. I think I'm definitely one of those people in terms of I've been learning to sort of work with that more within the last year from things that have been happening within my life. But actually, I used to be so scared to be vulnerable. Maybe not even opening up to people was never an issue, but actually opening up to myself was really confronting. And I think now if I ever need to cry or just let something out, I'm trying to like not resist that so much anymore and just let it come. And there's something really beautiful about, yeah, seeing other women go through that, because we should be able to support each other in these times. And actually, you've touched upon it a little bit earlier about the culture from where cacao came from. So am I correct from what you've said that it's a Mayan culture?
Yeah. So like, you know, the history dates back quite some time, quite thousands of years. So the very first traces of cacao were found 5,300 years before Christ in Ecuador, in fact. But then the first cultivation of cacao was more during the Aztec and the Mayan and the Olmec time around 3,500 years ago. Oh, and to be honest, like I'm still learning so much about it. And every time I'm diving into like a book about cacao or I'm speaking to somebody who knows, I'm like, yeah, I didn't know that. And there's another culture and another tribe. So, you know, like, but let's say the main area was in Mesoamerica. And then the main countries are really Mexico, Guatemala, really the ceremonial strains of cacao have been planted and harvested and really appreciated by the cultures at that time. And it was really seen as the food of the gods. So also like representing the connection cacao can establish with the gods. And if we think about the idea, for me, it just makes so much sense, because I mean, perhaps for a long time, we were looking at the gods of being something outside of us. But I ultimately believe that the god and the goddess is within ourselves. So in the end, yeah, food of the gods, it's the food that helps us to connect with our own God, with our own divinity, with our own wisdom. Because I think that is ultimately the key. Cacao is not showing you something that is not there. She's showing you what is within you, right? She's helping you to understand that you are your medicine. Yet cacao has also in ancient times not necessarily been used in ceremonial aspects. So like the form of cacao ceremonies that are now popping up and are created are a result of the last year. So in ancient times, cacao was used during a very ritual, rich life that the Mayas lived and the Aztecs. So they have a lot of fire ceremonies and in general, birth celebrations, you know, so they gather around the moon with a cosmovision. So like, you know, honoring the different gods, and then they would light a fire and they would give beans in the fire and they would drink a cacao. But it was never really just the pure cacao. So cacao was part of the rituals. And even cacao was used, for example, to strengthen the warriors. Cacao is super nutritious. So like the ceremony cacao has a high value of natural fats, so healthy fats, which help to take the nutrients in. It's very high in iron and magnesium, a lot of other minerals. It's high in antioxidants. So it's really a power food. So it was used for the warriors. It's also an aphrodisiac. So it was also used for the kings, you know, for the richer society as something, you know, like, yeah, to enjoy. And it was even traded as a currency. And there were even fake cacao beans going around because it was so valuable. I think it was at a time more valuable than gold, which I find amazing. But there are a lot of ways how it found its way through culture, always yet having a very high value, really seeing, you know, like the value in whatever sense, you know, it was given. But actually, and I found it amazing because I didn't know that before. I was last year in Guatemala. And in fact, the cacao shaman called Keith, he's living in Guatemala. He was called, I think, in the beginning of the 20s by the cacao spirits into a village, into a tribe in actually, I think, Colombia. He's not revealing that. Where they were purely working with the cacao spirit. And he basically brought then the idea of pure cacao ceremonies to the world and to the West. So now partially tribes are actually having cacao ceremonies, but it's not something that, you know, cacao was always important, but as a pure form, it was not really celebrated. And I find that amazing because I really believe that it almost feels for me that Keith or, you know, like, the cacao spirit is coming back right now to help humanity to make the shift, to make the, Keith even says a cacao is the food of the shift. the shift of consciousness, of awareness, the shift from fear to love, from separation to connection. And therefore, I really believe that she is here to be enjoyed. She's here to be celebrated, and she's here to help us to move closer towards ourselves and open our heart towards ourselves in the first place, and from that towards one another. And there's one thing I still also in that sense want to share, and it also links to the question before, because how I perceive Cacao is that she is literally like the embrace from a mother. And I really believe this is exactly the embrace we need to give ourselves, to hold ourselves in that kindness and in that appreciation, and yet having the courage from the heart to still take action to show ourselves in all our shadow and light, in our vulnerability, but also from there really following the path of the heart. And there she is really helping you to find this kindness, but also this roaring strength of a mother to like, do it, take the steps. Yeah, so it has a rich history, and yet I feel she is here right now in the right time. And therefore, I'm so happy to be here, because I really believe that so much more people, you know, should have the chance to get to know Cacao.
Amazing, Britta. Oh, you're just, the way you speak about the subject with so much passion is just like, pun intended, absolutely heartwarming. Like, and it's amazing that you also have been traveling around and were able to really dive into the culture and appreciate the culture. And then, you know, I think like so many things that are coming to the West, it's like they're being called to us at the right time. And maybe that is now. And also, you know, on my own journey with Cacao, I think there's always a reason why something, you know, you don't try something until the right time when it's supposed to reach you. So I think it's just so beautiful that you're bringing that culture into the West, and also, you know, continuing to educate yourself and educate others on the properties and how it can help us. And one of the questions that we had from the listeners, actually, so we had a lot of listeners who are really interested in this topic. And I think one of the confronting things about circles can be that sharing aspect. Obviously also a beautiful thing, but obviously without giving away any, you know, personal details, Britta, as I know you wouldn't anyway, but could you maybe just explain to someone who's maybe a little bit put off by sharing or doesn't want to share, like what kind of conversations or topics can come up from other women in these circles?
First of all, I always mention to everyone that it's never a must to share. You know, it's really just open. And I still experience that a lot of people want to share, you know, at a certain stage. And it can go into many directions. What I though experience quite often is that a lot of people who have somehow joined my ceremonies and they didn't even know how they ended up there, you know, so they came with quite a lot of, expectation or like doubt. Is this the right thing for me? You know, or like even nervousness, that often those people really had a form of epiphany, and this can be a small one or it can be a bigger one. I always think it's important to, you know, like also there not get the mind too active, because then you expect this big insight, and sometimes a big insight lays in the subtlety of the inside, right? Sometimes really a small realization can be actually so the right one and so big. So what I experience often is that one is that people who arrive very anxious or stressed or, you know, even curious or like, yeah, perhaps even, you know, like anxious, I would say, they really come to more rest and more peacefulness and feel much more home within their bodies, because that's also what Cacao does. It grounds us and it really takes us into the present moment, into ourselves. I have a lot of people who experience suddenly, because that's really what I feel Cacao is here for, because she really helps us to experience our heart space. And that's, again, that links also to what I said before, is that so often people say like, but I don't know, how does it feel to listen to my heart? Like, I cannot access the answers. And, you know, I don't know, I feel I'm not in touch. And suddenly in a ceremony, they feel, oh, wow, I'm actually feeling that there's something alive within my heart, or perhaps even a pain, that suddenly a long, you know, ignored sadness about something comes up, and then it just being felt. And I also experience, and I think that's also important to mention, is that sometimes it's not necessarily even in the words that are being shared. So sometimes it's just being together in a group in silence and seeing each other in the tears, in the laughter, and just acknowledging each other in the journey. Because if you don't want to share, then this is so welcome too. And then it can be just healing to be in a space where nothing is trying to be fixed or nothing is trying to be, you know, like explained. Because I think this is also, we need to understand that we are living in a culture where we're constantly trying to either achieve something or we're trying to fix something. And we're often also trying to fix ourselves. And I think here we need to, cacao is really here to make you understand that there's nothing to fix, but it's rather to understand that you're whole. So yeah, there are various insights. And I think one of the stories I always love to share, it's from a friend of mine, and she, yeah, also very rational person, very intelligent, you know, like, yeah, goes really beautifully on her path. And she really was just open to experience, like no expectation. She's like, oh, Britta, interesting what you're doing. You know, I want to join too. And she had such a beautiful heart opening experience that her whole life kind of changed afterwards. Like she suddenly, you know, met a guy, she made space, you know, for love. She really manifested more peace in her work, and she keeps on joining ceremonies, and it's just beautiful. Yeah, like I think when we enter it with a sense of curiosity, then everything that needs to be seen, felt, and heard will be received. And then it will also feel right to share that. Then there is no shame or blame or anything about that. And you can just feel heard and you can just, yeah, listen to the others.
Yeah, that's lovely. And I think that's nice that you just say, you know, maybe if you're going to a ceremony for the first time, you don't necessarily have to share. And actually, when you were just talking, it reminded me of an experience I had about 4 years ago. So I'm, like I said at the beginning, very much in my head a lot of the time. I work in a corporate environment still full time, and I have to always be on the go. And obviously, the more I'm diving into a spiritual practice, the more I'm trying to connect and ground myself. And actually, something that I did, I was on a yoga retreat, yeah, about 4 years ago now. And it was when I was really close to having a burnout, and I was in the room on my own. So I was in an accommodation on my own, and I could feel my heart beating in my chest so loudly that I've never experienced it before. And I think I really truly believe it was my heart thanking me for taking the time in this retreat to connect with my heart. So at the time, this was also, it sounds a bit obviously strange because I'm sure people doing it before, but I just wasn't aware. But without like planning it, I just connected my hands onto my heart and I listened to my heart. And I promised myself from that moment that I would do this more, just sit with myself and place hands over my heart and listen to my heart beating. And I just think there's something so powerful about that heart space connection that, as you said, Britta, like we're so in the rat race every day, and just to slow down and connect with others can just, even if maybe you're not, yeah, getting that crazy experience like you might expect, I'm sure that there's a lot of inner work that's happening in those circles and in those spaces.
Definitely. It's so beautiful that you mentioned that, because I always share that just putting your hands on your heart space in the center of your chest is already the most beautiful and the most simplest gesture you can do. Just to, you know, also when I have my cacao, I put my hands on my heart. So that's beautiful. And yeah, I can only agree with what you said.
Yeah. So beautiful. Well, I think there'll be so many people curious listening to this podcast to join one of your circles. But if, you know, obviously we're in quite unprecedented, strange times. So if there's people listening at home that potentially want to just, you know, buy a cacao, maybe from your website, or they, you know, they look to make sure they get some nicely sourced cacao. Are there any little rituals that people could be doing at home, Britta, to support drinking cacao in their own home space?
Yeah, so I would always, if you are yet getting into touch with cacao, I think it's important to see how you want to integrate it. So some people really love to start with doing it, you know, in the morning with a daily meditation, just having a short meditation moments. Anyways, perhaps they have their morning ritual. In general, it's to say that cacao is very integrative. So cacao can be used very well in a moment of silence, but sometimes I feel very active. So I just want to have a dance, you know, afterwards. So I think here it's also very interesting, not interesting, it's important to listen to what you need. So you know your heart, follow your heart on what you need. But you can easily start with like a daily dose of cacao. I always recommend around then 16 grams for meditation dose with around 90 ml of water. That's a beautiful way to start. You will have an effect, but it's, you know, less strong as a ceremonial dose, because a ceremonial dose starts from 28, goes up to 42.5. I find 42.5 for me way too much, that I'm hovering. It's too much. So I work personally with around 33 grams. That's also what I'm recommending. And for that, you know, if you just want to give it a try, I would just suggest, you know, create a little safe space, make it cozy. Perhaps you listen to your most favorite meditation, or you have a little bit of 10 minutes of breath work. Perhaps you do a little bit of yoga afterwards. I mean, it can be really free, because I think that a ceremony is a ceremony of you, a ceremony of the moment. It's a ceremony of life. So, I think it can flow in many ways. I have a heart opening meditation that people can download on my website. So that's also a beautiful one to do. And I'm also selling little packages where there is a little one with a cacao prayer. So you can really literally call in the spirit and really connect to the cacao the way I do. So it might, you know, speak to certain people. But in general, I would say if you feel and hear the calling of cacao, I would recommend you to buy a small portion and really give it a try. And if it's too bitter in the first stages to drink it without anything of a sweetness, I have many recipes on my Instagram as well. So there are many ways to add a little bit of nut butter, make it a little bit more grounding, a little bit more round, to also make it taste-wise, you know, a round experience. Yeah, I think in general, I would say really listen to what you need, and you can easily incorporate it in your daily ritual. And it's also really nice, I shouldn't forget to say that, as cacao sparks creativity and focus. It's nice, sometimes I have it in the afternoon when I feel like there is a little dip, then I'm having a cacao and then I keep on working, or like I keep on creating, and then I have much more a sense of flow, because yeah, cacao again gives you this energy. It's much, much more subtle, much more linear instead of this peak like coffee does. So it's a very beautiful moment to do in the afternoon as well.
Nice. That's lovely. I think, yeah, your website's actually really, for me, that was also, I kind of found you obviously through Instagram, Britta, and was really inspired by, you know, the modern way now that we connect in this world. And well, actually I'd heard of what you do as well, but your website, yeah, super inspiring. And I think it's also a nice, nice, easily accessible gateway to people that maybe, yeah, are sort of dipping their toes into cacao and need to be a little bit more guided like myself, to have the, you know, the instructions, the prayer, like you mentioned. So that's so nice. I know that you're traveling. So you're based in the Netherlands at the moment, but you're traveling to Guatemala, aren't you? So just for listeners who are curious like myself, is there a connection there with cacao for you? And is that why you're traveling back there?
Yes. Yeah, certainly. So I traveled the world for 2.5 years when I quit my corporate job, where I stepped, you know, like really listening to my heart. And then I came back and Guatemala, and I didn't travel it during my world trip. And then really, literally, I couldn't ignore the signs. It was in, so 1.5 years ago, I literally was called from all angles to Guatemala. And I didn't even think about it. It was one of those decisions that came so purely out of the heart. I was like, okay, I just need to go. There was no but or if or when. And then I booked and I was there for 8 weeks or 7 weeks. And I must say that this time was partially more transformational than parts of my world trip. And I just fell in love so much with the country. I fell in love with the people, but I also fell in love with what the country does to me and who I can again, you know, evolve as a human. And the energy there is just beautiful. And there I really, really, really connected even deeper with cacao. I traveled into the cacao region. I was sitting underneath the cacao trees. I was holding cacao fruits in my hands, and I met some farmers and beautiful people working with cacao, locals, but also foreigners who just have such a beautiful passion for cacao. And yeah, I mean, I think you guys can feel it, but it literally ignited my passion and my heart about it so, so much more. And like, actually, I must also admit that last year, I mean, it was, I guess, challenging for almost all of us. And I heard this calling to go back to Guatemala for so long. But somehow my mind was still finding excuses and like other solutions. And I was also walking away from it and not listening to my heart. And I had this point in December or in November where I was like, okay, Britta, like you cannot tell everybody else to listen to their heart in the circles. And right now you're just walking away from it. Like you need to walk the talk. If this is what, you know, calls you, you need to go. Because I had also like thoughts, oh my God, I just started my cacao brand. I'm just doing this. I cannot go, you know, like all the rational reasons. But I was like, no, but I need to go. So literally my heart is calling me back to Guatemala. And my intention is partially, of course, also just taking space for myself and my own heart longings that I really wanting to, you know, unfold. But I also really want to dive deeper with cacao. And I would love to call in living perhaps even with a tribe or working more with locals, because also they are partially where I'm going to be based. It's quite split between foreigners and locals. So I would love to build the bridge more. I was there too short when I was there. I would love to just also join more ceremonies and be facilitated. So like that space is held for me so I can hold space again, or like, you know, it's. So it's just I'm just called back with all of my being to this beautiful country, to connect with cacao, to connect with nature, to connect with the culture, and yeah, just to unfold once more to my own journey. And I will take all of you along. So I will, my plan is to, I will still keep on hosting online ceremonies. I'm really curious, like eager to, yeah, bring more knowledge to the West as well. So like you can definitely expect some nice videos from farms or interviews from people who even know much, much, much more than I do. It's just calling me back.
Wow, that sounds amazing. I'm so excited for you. I mean, that sounds like you're just starting, well, not even starting, but just going to be going deeper and deeper and deeper in this journey of cacao. And I'm really excited to see what comes up for you, Britta. I'm sure we'll be watching avidly from your Instagram to get the content from Guatemala to our phones. And yeah, and that's awesome that you're also going to be keeping up with the online ceremonies as well. So definitely we'll keep an eye out for those.
Yeah. And just adding as well for the listeners, perhaps who are still doubting a little bit or like, is this for me? I think an online experience is actually a really nice experience to perhaps do your first move to join, because you are in your own safe circle, in your own safe space. And you can really go on the journey with yourself and still be held by the energy of the group. So if anybody hears the calling, I'm really making beautiful experiences with the online, and I never thought this would be possible. So
yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I'm trying this experience myself this weekend online. Yes. And yeah, like I said, it's so, I don't know even why it was a little bit confronting for me. I think because I just didn't have the knowledge about what cacao would do. And so, I will also be reporting back on my experience on social media. So I think for anyone out there listening, yeah, just give it a go, because I'm doing it as well. So we're doing it together. Britta, thank you so much for joining me. And just before we close the podcast, I'm asking everyone I'm interviewing, essentially the whole premise of the podcast is that I'm on my own journey and I want people to also be following me and understanding and being educated on these subjects. And there's been absolutely a huge wealth of information on cacao already. But if there's anything else, you know, in terms of books that you think could be useful for people to dive into a little bit deeper, do you have any recommendations?
Yeah, so that's a good question, because I have learned a lot just by talking to people. There is one amazing book. It's The True History of Chocolate. So if you want to dive a little bit deeper into, you know, what is actually up with chocolate, because there's a lot of mystique around it as well. And one is called, I think, Food of the Gods. And that's really beautifully talking about the ancient history. But there is, to be honest, no book I haven't found it. So I'm actually planning to write mine myself, that really summarizes it in its totality and makes it accessible. So, hopefully soon a book for me. I'm definitely planning that and really excited to share more with you and have you reporting back to me on the experience, and hopefully some listeners as well who are really called to just give cacao a try. And yeah.
Thank you, Britta. I definitely will be reporting back my experience. Thank you for listening to the Magic and Mindfulness podcast. The podcast designed for the modern mystic and spiritually curious. I really hope that you enjoyed today's episode. And before we close, I'd just like to end with a very special thank you to my co-producer, Nali Sultana. I'm so grateful that you tuned in, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.